Imperial Media presents The Brooke Taylor Show. Encounter, adventure, evangelize. And now your host, Brooke Taylor.
Well, hello. Welcome to a brand new season of The Brooke Taylor Show right out of the box. Starting strong, starting fresh. That is our aim always, our prayer, and a lot of work has gone into the shows that you will hear over the next few months. And I thank you first for supporting the program. We have been navigating through some particularly rough seas, but the ship is still afloat. I think, I always say this every season, this is one of the best we've ever done, but I think it's because with prayer and effort, listening to the audience and seeing what's happening in the culture, God's providence brings forth the most amazing guests with the messages that we are supposed to hear. And I really believe that now more than ever. Starting with today, you are going to hear from Father John Ricardo. I just thought he would be such a great guest to kick off the season. And not only for the content and the substance and the inspiration that he offers, but again, the timing, this day of prayer and fasting that he is imploring, inviting us to participate in. So we'll explain what that's about, how you can be a part of that, and the fruits that we can expect from a day like that. Also want to let you know about a little change with the show. Normally, the Brooke Taylor Show airs once a week, but changing now from a once-a-week program to a bi-weekly show. And sometimes there will be a bonus show, so stay tuned. There'll be some surprises. Be on the lookout for that. But typically, it will be an every-other-week type of outline. And as we continue to just adjust to the massive changes in our life, this is something that we thought fit the audience, our schedule, my personal schedule as well. And in the meantime, always casting the net here to consider becoming a Podbean patron if you're not already. If you have found the content of the show to be beneficial, to be a blessing in any way, this is just an invitation to offer support for the program. And the beauty of that is it really is individual and catered to the call of what you feel. And it could be $5, a one-time gift, or a monthly donation of $5 or $10 a month or $20 or more. So grateful for all of our Podbean patrons. And you can find the information on the show notes, in the newsletter, and on the website to be able to support the show. And as I mentioned, this season, the lineup of guests is fantastic. After this week, we will be launching a series on holy masculinity, the crisis of leadership in all areas, and in our families, in our countries, in the church. And Layla Miller, Hector Molina are two leaders, voices of incredible beauty and clarity on this. And so they'll be joining me for that series. Also, Kendra Von Esch, a dynamic speaker, will talk about her conversion story, which I think is notable, especially for anyone who may be struggling with addiction of any sort, and so much more. That's just the beginning. And today, kicking off the season, hearing from Father John Ricardo. So let's jump into that now. My conversation with Father Ricardo on the September 24th day of fasting and prayer. Take a listen.
In 1792, Thomas Paine delivered the following quote. He said this, "There is existing in man a mass of sense lying in dormant state, which, unless something excites it to action, will descend with him in the condition to the grave." Now, we know by the call of our baptism and confirmation and as believers that we are called to action and that the living word of Christ calls us forth. And I think now more than ever, the world needs the healing and hope that we bring as missionaries of hope to help propel us into that call. Father John Ricardo was launching a day of fasting and prayer, and that's what we will talk about on today's show. But before we get into Father, I want to go into a proverbial time machine. Join with me back through the ages as we reflect on this moment. It's pulled from the book For You They Signed. And it says this, "The first Congress held in Philadelphia on September 5th, 1774, opened with prayer, which lasted for hours. They read Psalm 35, and according to historian Marilyn Boyer, felt God used Psalm 35 to speak direction in their lives, these men who risked everything to come together. The following was recorded that day. Washington was kneeling there, and Henry and Randolph and Rutledge, Lee and Jay, and by their side, there stood, bowed down in deference, who at that moment had reason to believe that armed soldiery was wasting their humble households. They prayed. They prayed fervently for America, for the Congress, for the province of Massachusetts Bay, and especially the town of Boston. It was enough, said Mr. Adams, to melt a heart of stone. I saw the tears gush into the eyes of the old Pacific Quakers in Philadelphia. He wrote to his wife, Abigail, we, quote, have appointed a continental fast. Millions will be upon their knees before their great creator, imploring his forgiveness and blessing. 246 years ago, almost to the week, and here we are, a need for fasting and prayer rivaling, I think, the days of when our founding fathers gathered and raising a voice, inviting the faithful once again, is a man that just happens to have Father in his title. That's Father John Ricardo, inviting us to a day of similar prayer and fasting. Father Ricardo, a priest of the Archdiocese of Detroit, the founder and executive director of Acts 29, a nonprofit apostolate, and for many of you, Father Ricardo needs no introduction. Obviously, we know from EWTN and the powerful preaching that we so need. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thanks, Brooke. Great to be with you.
September 24th, a day of fasting and prayer. Tell us how that came to be. It's a powerful story.
This came about because we do a weekly podcast in our apostolate called You Were Born for This, and we had done an episode on courage and how needed it is right now in our country and in the church to have courage. So we looked at Numbers 13 and 14 and the example of Caleb and Joshua and being able to spy out the promised land and acknowledge, yes, the people there are big and yes, they're strong, but God has called us and we can do this, and how we need Caleb's and Joshua's now. But then we were praying about what to do as a follow-up. And in my own mind, I was led to pray in a special way for wisdom, because courage without wisdom is daring, but not necessarily the right thing to do. You don't know what to be courageous about. And as I was praying about that, Mary, who's on our team here, had sent out a text to us as a team just saying, hey, no one's doing anything to call the country to pray and fast right now in these critical days. Maybe we should take the lead in that. And so I saw that text and kind of went, no, thanks. Well, maybe we'll talk about that later. But then, you know, I guess you listen to my sister more often because she's the one who's got a more attentive ear to the Spirit, and I had to catch up. And sure enough, we kind of met with what she had proposed and what the Lord was doing in me with regards to prayer for wisdom. That took me to Solomon, his prayer for wisdom. That took me to Lincoln, who was a man who was Solomon-like. He was both courageous and wise. And that took me to the fact that Lincoln, three times during the Civil War, I think what intrigued me, on one single day, called the whole country to pray and to fast, with an understanding that perhaps what we're going through was what he called just punishment for our having forgotten God. So we suddenly became the movement of, or leader of a national movement. So Lincoln called for, in 1861, at that time, the last Thursday of September to be observed as a day of national prayer and fasting. So I thought, well, let's do the same. The last day of September, or the last Thursday is September 24th, which, oh, by the way, just happened to be the feast of Our Lady of Ransom, or Our Lady of Mercy, in the old calendar. So that's how we got here.
And the fact that you were led directly to that proclamation from Lincoln, again, the humility, and that there's a thread that goes all the way back, as I was just reading in the top of the show, to the founders. That's how things began, with fasting and prayer. We forget that at our peril. What I love about what you're doing here is, just like that Congress, a mix of faith traditions were gathered. This really is for all people, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Very much Catholic, evangelical, Jewish brothers and sisters. You know, you think Christians, Jews, Muslims, we all have a habit of a tradition of fasting. And then all people of goodwill, just as Lincoln did in the 1860s.
And this is one day. That's an important distinction, September 24th.
Yeah, it's one day, and it's really left. I mean, the idea is to push this far and wide. We're trying to get it to all the bishops. We're trying to get it to governors, congressmen and women, and leave it to people to do how they want to do it. In my mind, our mind, it has a tone somewhere between Sunday and Good Friday. Avoid work if you can. Avoid spending or shopping if you can. Treat it like a solemn, holy day. And for those of us who can fast from food, to do that. Many of us can't, I know, for medical reasons or whatnot, so fast from something else, up until dinner, asking God for two things: for mercy on our country, and then for the healing and the conversion of our hearts. And the our is very important there. It's not their hearts. It first has to be my heart
For those that might not be familiar or used to fasting, why is that component such a potent weapon in the spiritual battle?
Yeah, it's a great question. People ask me all the time, like, what is fast? How does fasting work? And I always say, Jesus tells us to do it. He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. He further says in the gospel that some kinds of spirits only come out through prayer and fasting. So I think fasting is of value for helping us to hear the Lord better, for exercising some kind of penance. But then the way I think of it is it's a way to erode resistance to God's grace. I think in fasting, it's a hidden little act of love, which I may never know you're doing, which somehow just kind of gradually erodes my resistance to what God is trying to do in my heart. There are so many problems. And in my mind anyway, the root problem is the heart, starting with mine. As crucial as politics and policies and laws are, and they are, they can't fix the problem because only God can fix the heart.
In the last election on the eve, so it was election night, everybody was voting. We had a mission at our church, and I was blessed to speak, and I stood up beside one of my dearest friends. She's an African-American pastor, and she had come that evening to offer prayer, and it was so polarized. I thought, there's nowhere in the world that I would rather be on this night than inside a church, because in our church, before the altar and near Jesus in the tabernacle, we are outside of time and space, and you just see, I think, the stretch of eternity, and all we can do now is to offer ourselves, to lay down all of our worries and fears, our shortcomings in front of the altar at the cross. And it was such a beautiful thing to be able to do that when that wasn't my human impulse. My human impulse was to be checking the headlines, was to be allowing my blood pressure to be affected by this because you realize so much is at stake in that moment. But I think that this is such a beautiful opportunity for us to see an eternal perspective, and that we still do have the ability. We're not so far past the precipice to humble ourselves collectively, individually. And as you said, it begins with us first.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I'm struck by Lincoln three times issues a proclamation in the course of the Civil War. He did it in 1861, he did it in 1863, and 1864. Lincoln says in the 1863 proclamation, he says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us."
When I hear you share that about Lincoln, I consider the people that he proclaimed that to. And by and large, a Judeo-Christian nation, that would be able to cut through and really reach the hearts of people. And today, it just seems like there used to be a starting point, a common ground that we all began at, even if we were different denominations or traditions. Today, it's so aggressive, and it's like we don't even begin at the same starting point. I think that's an absolute area of prayer too, that this will cut through the blind and deaf among us, of which I am foremost as well in many ways, and that only God through God's grace, as you said. And I was having a full circle moment when you talked about grace, because I remember driving home from my job in Cleveland, listening to you on the radio station and defining what grace was. And I never forgot that. You said it's something you can't give yourself. And here you are talking about it. Maybe you could explain for those what you're talking about with the fruits of fasting and prayer and what grace means.
I mean, the simplest way to think about it is it's just God's undeserved gift. So people ask, you know, like, what do you hope to accomplish with this? It's like, I hope God will be faithful to what he's promised. It's almost like he's pleading with us to take him up on the bargain. Like, he promised a number of things in the scriptures. He promised he would give us new hearts. And he did, for those of us who've received them in baptism. He's continually purifying them. He promised that if his people would turn from their ways and humble themselves before him and call upon his name, then he would heal their land. So I think it's St. Augustine who says, God has put himself so much in our debt because he has promised so much. And we don't ask him for big things. And it's like at this time in our history of our country right now, we're supposed to ask for big things. You were talking about the rhetoric and the inability that we have to listen to one another right now. If God can change our hearts, that would be an immediate fruit. Suddenly I would shut up and I would say, you know what, Brooke, I'm going to be quiet. You talk. And if we could do that with one another right now, well, then nothing would be impossible.
And I think the conditions are right for it because it could go either way, I suppose. But you look at Panem and Circenses, the bread and circus that we've had for so long, and Lincoln referred to it, this unbroken success. And when people's bellies are full and their minds are entertained, which of course now more than ever with distractions, that's the case. And so they don't look up, they're earthbound, and they don't keep their eyes on God or the Ten Commandments. I was listening to the most beautiful homily at the Byzantine church I sometimes visit, and Father said, any time in history you look at a people who stop observing the Ten Commandments, you see what happens and their demise. And it's very clearly written. And he said, we need a new Benedict. You need to be a new Benedict. I need to be a new Benedict who came in and reformed the systems of monasteries. And through that brought such powerful renewal. This bread and circus has been somewhat removed through the pandemic, as terrible as it's been, and none of us wished for it. But again, whether it's 9/11 or these trials that we go through, they're wake-up calls. C.S. Lewis talks about that. I mean, throughout time, scholars have, and scripture, reminded us, if we don't listen, if we don't heed, woe to us. And as you pointed all the way back to the beginning, it goes to wisdom. We need to be listening and asking for wisdom to fast for one day and to pray. When you say the pray component, what does that look like?
I might encourage people in a particular way on this day to pray in front of a crucifix, because it helps me understand immediately, who am I talking to? So I'm talking to not only a God who made everything, so he's not just omnipotent, I'm talking to a God who thinks, for some reason, I don't know why, that this race that he made in his image and likeness matters so much to him that he would become flesh and go to the cross so as to rescue us. And it's important, I think, especially right now, as we look at all that's going on, to understand who the enemy is. And the enemy is not the other political party, whatever political party you belong to. The enemy is not the other gender or the other race. The enemy is the enemy. He has a name. His name is Satan. And God becomes a man so as to go to battle against his enemy, our enemy, who is no rival to God, but who has deceived our race. And the result of what happened when he first deceived us is that we became enslaved to him, which sounds like what are you talking about, Father? I'm not enslaved to anybody. Well, I think it's really easy to prove. Here's the thing. You're going to die, and you know it, and you're not supposed to die. Like, God didn't create us to die. But that's because we're enslaved as a race to a power that on our own we can't compete against. One of those powers is death, which is written with a capital D. But the other power is sin, which is best written with a capital S. And for me, anyway, the easiest way to prove this is just to ask somebody a question. And the question would be, have you ever done that you knew you'd do, and that, in fact, you hated doing, but you did it anyway? And, you know, we all kind of sheepishly go, you know, like this morning, you know, or whatever. And have you ever wondered why? And the reason for the why is because our race is bound by the power of sin. And so God becomes a man. This goes back to praying in front of the crucifix. I think when we pray in front of the cross, we're not quite sure who we're talking to there. There's a lot of things that Jesus is doing on the cross, but he's active on the cross. That's not happening to him. You can't nail God to a cross. He can only get there if he wants to be there. And he wants to be there for three things: to show us how much he loves us, to make atonement for our sins, and to defeat the enemy, because he deceives the enemy. You know, the early church fathers, these descendants, if you will, of the apostles, they would say often that what Jesus is doing on the cross is he's setting a trap. It's like a mouse trap or a fish hook. And he's trying to get the enemy to get close and to bite, because by devouring, if you will, Jesus, this is how the early church spoke about it, Satan takes into himself something that he can't contain, and that actually explodes his dominion from inside. And so after the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are no longer bound by death. I'm still going to die, but it can't hold me. And after his death and resurrection, I'm not bound by sin anymore either. This is what we need right now, right? So the solution for our country is a new power that only God can give, that he wants to give. And as disciples of Jesus, anyway, we should know this, because we should know he changed my heart. I mean, I was a bad man, and he didn't call me to this as a reward. Like, he changed my life. And the church knows from her experience that people who used to hate each other learn not simply to tolerate each other. They learn to call each other brother and sister, and to lay down their lives for each other. And this is what we're being asked to demonstrate right now.
I want to conclude there, because that's such a powerful takeaway and something I think we can reflect on, because our help is not going to come from a government program. It really, when you talk about the interior, the country, we see it's not necessarily the people from without, it's within. It's within our own country. And of course, as you talked about the transformation interiorly, that, and scripture talks about that. And I do a great story with my kids, and when I speak about an apple, and I always thought that a worm would come in from the outside. And actually, that's not true. I learned that it's from the inside out that the worm eats. And when you see that hole, the entire apple is ruined already from the inside out. And that's what happens to us with sin, the interior, and how first it begins, as we said, and as you've repeated, from that create in me a clean heart, renew within me a steadfast spirit, and take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Our country needs that. Our leaders, our politicians, we all do. The generations coming next need to see that we were able to be that transformation and be a witness to that hope. I just think what you're doing is almost, I feel like mystically, like Our Lady knighting you with the blade on either shoulder and calling you forth to do this, because the timing of it is so spectacular. So as we wrap up, can you just give us the details and website, how we can find and promote this day of prayer?
Yeah, go to Acts 29, so ACTS, and then the Roman numerals, XXIX.org. And
there's a lot, Father.
I know, it's tough. Wow, Roman numeral, blew my head, right? So Acts29.org, and as soon as you click on, you'll see a banner for learn more about the National Day of Prayer and Fasting. And we're in the process right now of putting together a promo package that people can just download, send to other people, customize, capitalize on social media right now to do everything we can to spread the word. That's the key.
And it's so easy. So I think that's what you've done, is you've helped us so that all we need to do is say the words and be missionaries of this. And it's one day and we're in it together. So God bless you. We will visit the website. I will also link it up in our show notes and online as well. Count us in. We will be there joining alongside in solidarity September 24th.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you again to Father John Ricardo. I can't think of a better way to kick off the season, and just so grateful for his wisdom, his clarity. He's one of my favorites. And I know when I say that I'm not alone, because so many of you, when I shared that he would be on the program, reached out and just said, thank you. I love him. And what he's doing now clearly is a call, as I mentioned, that he has given his fiat, his yes to. And so it's up to us to cooperate, to support, and to participate as well. Again, all the information will be linked in the show notes, as well as in the newsletter too. On the next show, kicking off the first episode in our series about holy masculinity and the crisis of godly leadership and what we can do about that. It's so inspiring, and I've been really fired up to be able to get to that series and share that with you. Would also love to hear from you. How are you feeling? How can we pray for you? Any insights or takeaways from today's show or shows that you would like to hear, shoot me an email. It's thebrooketaylorshow@gmail.com. Super easy. It's a new email address. I promise it's not going to change, but because the title of the show changed, had to make that adjustment. So it's the Brooke Taylor, the Brooke Taylor Show at gmail.com. gmail.com. I know that we're continuing to pray for one another. I'm trying to keep it together. I know we all are. It's been tough. There's been a lot of change as we've been planning to go back to school. And I share pretty openly about our struggles with having a special needs child really, really needing that hands-on therapy that just can't be duplicated. There's no replica that could come close with an online learning that what she gets with the paraprofessionals and the teachers and the aides at school. And so we've had some things thrown at us that we've had to navigate, but I know we all have. So just that continued prayer for perseverance and endurance. And speaking of that, by the way, I have a huge announcement that by the time you hear this, you might know already. That's all I'm going to say about it. So if we're connected on social media, that's a possibility that you'll know about it, but I will spill the beans on the next show. A challenge like no other in my life that has been placed on my shoulders to try to fulfill when it comes to endurance and perseverance. And I, as I'm sitting here, don't know if I'll be able to get the ball across the goal, but I know that in the process, there will be lessons lifelong that I will learn. And my hope and prayer is to bring those lessons to you, as well as the outcome of what is going to happen. And with that, I'm going to leave it in little final Jeopardy sounder. Thanks, Mark. You'll have to listen for the next episode to find out what that was. We are one, friends, in our faith and our trust in God's faithfulness, as Father Ricardo talked about, and I hope in this initiative for prayer and fasting on September 24th. Thank you again for joining me to kick off the new season. A big, huge, snappy salute to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work, as always. He is a producer extraordinaire, so for any needs that you may have, audio, visual, check him out at cominghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, peace and love. God bless you.